Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with episode one of Secret Invasion, which is the new Marvel show. Major, major spoiler alert for that one, like right off the bat, just we go right into it, so be sure to have seen the episode before listening to this. And then we also watched the new Jennifer Lawrence film, No Hard Feelings. Again, another spoiler alert for that one. And then be sure to stay tuned after the main discussion for a couple of quick follow-up points. And without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We have our first Marvel show in what feels like quite a while, and I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I've missed it. We watched the first episode of Secret Invasion. Jackie, I'm gonna start with you, because I know you have thoughts on this. And we're gonna jump right in.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. I mean, I really hated that they killed Agent Hill in the first episode. I think it sucks, and I'm mad about it.
Rightfully so. Matt?
That makes sense. I did not feel that way. I thought it was made it really emotional, and I was like, ooh, loved it. And it brought like real stakes to this universe, which has been kind of missing lately, I feel like. And it was like, wow, yeah. Like, you know, I did not expect it. And it was really sad. So I was here for that. But obviously sad to lose her. But I thought like for a storytelling device, I thought it was like cool. But I loved the show, actually. It was
kind of surprising. I mean, she got fridged, essentially. She's like got killed just to further their story. And it's just so frustrating that it's always the female character, you know, like do better.
200,000 male characters in the Marvel universe and four women.
I was just so excited to finally see Agent Hill like in more of a role. We get to know this, you know, MCU version of her better. Like, I don't know. That's the problem, is that's what I was like looking forward to in the show. And so when they kill her in the first episode, I'm just angry about it.
This is kind of perfect because I am right in the middle where I don't acknowledge, I don't know if she's dead is quite honestly where I'm at, because, and I don't think she was a Skrull like that. I'm not positing, but they have just, you know, had stakes and had consequences above us so many times and then just been like, just kidding. You know, the whole entirety of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was around Phil Coulson was dead. And it's like, just kidding. He's not dead. So I have not, you know, picked how I feel about it yet, because I don't believe she's necessarily dead. If she's actually dead, I will be very upset as well. But if she's not, I will also be upset, because then it's like, stop pulling the rug out.
Storytelling device. There's nothing I like less than that.
So I guess actually, like, no, I'm just upset.
Decision either way, to be honest. But like, at least keep her dead, you know, if we're going to have to have gone through that. Like, I don't know.
It was also so anticlimactic.
I mean, I did really, really like the rest of it. But, you know, I was...
I'm just talking about her death in specific. Oh, yeah, like, that's it?
More like realistic, I guess. And I just assumed it was a cliffhanger and that we'll deal with the fallout of it next episode. But, you know, it is also in the back of my mind that it might not be real, but I also hate that. So,
yeah. No, I've changed my mind. I'm not in the middle. I'm in the I hate this camp.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm like, it feels so... This is they've made this Nick Fury story, and like we knew that, right? And so like I felt, to me, it sucks that anyone has to be collateral damage for it, but their relationship has been such a thing for like the entirety of Nick Fury being on screen and Maria Hill being on screen. You know, like it's such a thing where like I like that, like she even references in this that like the only reason he came back down to Earth is because she told him that he needed to. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like the kind of thing where like she's his like most trusted person. So I love that like we're focusing on this post blip Fury not being like there. You know what I mean? Like his mental space not being good anymore.
Understandable.
And I like the tragedy. And so I like the tragedy of ripping his like closest confidant away from him and watching him unravel in this whole thing. And, you know, again, it sucks because then you're out here collateral damage to something like that. But it felt heavy to me, because it also, I liked that, you know, the last thing she saw was Nick Fury shooting her, which, you know, she could assume he was a Skrull, I'm sure.
But I mean, I hope she figured out it was a Skrull in the 30 seconds she had before she died.
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean, it's tragic. I hate it.
I'm with you.
I mean, so we'll see. Like, I did like the rest of the show. I'm less compelled by basically every other character. So, like, we'll see.
I'm super here for it. I'm really interested in what's her face? God, can't remember her name in the show, but
I was like, there's two British ones.
Olivia Colman. Well, I have thoughts about Amelia Clark, but Olivia Colman's character, I'm like super
I liked her. You're right. I did like that dynamic.
And then Amelia Clark, I'm very interested in that dynamic as well. I will say, I was in the camp of like at the end of Captain Marvel, I thought that Talos' daughter might have been Voronke, who in the comics is the one who like leads the secret invasion and is like kind of a ruthless leader of Skrullos, you know? Mm-hmm. And it seems they're calling her Gia here. It seems that she's not. And even if she is, she's clearly conflicted about things. But I'm very curious to see where her story kind of leads and what it becomes. It seems like it's too easily solved in this first episode of kind of like, oh, okay, I'm realizing that this is a bad organization. You're right. You're right, Dad. You know?
Oh, no, no. There's no way that it's that simple. I agree.
And so I'd love if she turns out being like that character. But I'm very curious to see what they do with her. And I like the casting. And love having Ben Mendelsohn back. I loved the beginning. I felt using, I can't remember anybody's name, but Ross at the beginning. And having him be the, oh, guess what? Haha, he's a Skrull. I felt was a little on the nose as it was
Martin Freeman. I forget his first name.
But it's like, I felt like that was a little bit of a like, okay, well, no duh. Because if you watched, you know, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, you knew that like the CIA had just arrested this man for treason. So I doubt he's now a CIA agent again. But I mean, so it felt very like, okay, well, clearly this is not him. Well, so I would have liked a little bit better of a fake out, but I still loved it.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
I mean, yes and no, very quickly. Like, I realized I'd forgotten everything about everything going into this. Not everything, but, you know, I forgot so that he has it. Well, yeah, I was like, I forgot he has a daughter. I figured Martin Freeman was not him. I was just like, oh, film cameo, that's fine. But I forgot that he's been arrested. You know, I just, my memory about these things is not as good as the both of yours. But
No, his actions are leading into Thunderbolts, likely, with Valentina and stuff.
Yeah.
But I always remember, because the end of Captain Marvel, the reason I thought that they were building toward this Voronke character is that it's like at the very end when, you know, you learn in that movie that the Skrulls are actually not the big baddies that we thought they were, and that the Kree are evil and all this, whatever, right? At least in this altercation. And when Talos has to, like, kill somebody when they're trying to rescue the daughter with the mom, whatever, at the end, he's like, cover her eyes, and she ends up seeing him murder people, and then she's like happy about it. So I thought, okay, they're building toward her becoming this like kind of ruthless leader who's going to be like, screw the humans, I'm Invader.
Again,
you know,
because Ben Mendelsohn's accent like kept slipping. I thought he was calling her Gaia, and I was like, oh, there's no way she'll be bad because she's named for Earth.
Oh,
but now that I'm looking
it that way,
No. He is, but I'm looking at the spelling at it, and it is G I A H. But like, you could, you know, you could go each way. But I kept hearing Gaia, and I was like, oh my god, could we be more on the nose?
That's funny. What is this, Inception?
Yeah, really.
Like, oh my lord,
Danium.
What's funny is this show. I feel like part of my big enjoyment of it too is like so timing specific, I feel, because I mean, I really genuinely like it, but it's funny because like 5 years ago, I think I would have been irritated at this approach to it, because the comics is obviously a lot more fun. Like, it's like the Skrulls come in and they decide to take over the personas of a bunch of supers, you know what I mean? Like, I think Voronke becomes like Spider-Woman, if I remember, like in all the like they decide to take over that way and go over after like the most powerful people on the planet to do this. And so it ends up being fun when you're reading it, because you're like, oh, an Elektra's a Skrull, what? Like, you know, like you're finding out all this stuff. And in here, it's like, okay, they're going after like brilliant minds and leaders and stuff like that. And it's a little more grounded. But because I feel like we've talked a lot about the oversaturation of the superhero and Marvel and all that kind of stuff lately, even though we feel like we've been in a little bit of a drought on Marvel content, at least shows go, I appreciate the grounded approach, you know?
Yeah,
but I don't think I would have 5 years ago. I think I would have been pissed. Because you know? It's more fun when you have a bunch of supers appearing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Secret Invasion in the comics was fun. And I mean, I read it years afterward, but I still had a very good time, like, you know, figuring out random folks were Skrulls. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, the change I don't mind in the way that, like, I get why they don't. Aren't going to have everyone show up in the TV series. Right. But, you know, it would have been cool. I mean, hopefully we'll get a couple super,
they
like,
couldn't even afford Maria Hill for more than one episode, it sounds like. So I don't know.
Right? Seriously. That's true. You're not wrong here. But I do hope for some of that fun, because it was a good time reading the comics.
Yeah, and I think that we could still get some, hopefully, but it fun anyway. But it just, yeah, this seems to be more of a logical approach to their invasion, which I think I do appreciate. You know, but
yeah,
it's
which
like,
I
oh, we're brilliant minds, we're leaders.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing this means something will happen to our Dermot Mulroney president, because I think, unless I'm mistaken, maybe we'll get I doubt it, but maybe there'll be a Harrison Ford Easter egg or something, because
any way that they got him to, unless literally they like did it without telling Harrison Ford. I don't think you can do that in terms of,
yeah, probably not.
Like SAG agreements.
I know he's, yeah, his Thaddeus Ross, I believe, in Brave New World is supposed to be the president. So, like, obviously, this one's not going to be.
Oh, he's not a general?
No, he's president. Oh. and so this, I believe, doesn't take
so
place
we're
too
setting
much
up.
Before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So I was like, there'll be some, even if he's not appearing, there'll be something, like, we'll see this guy get toasted and then
kick the bucket. You know. Yeah. God, is this gonna be like the highest body count of named people in I want to talk about Olivia Colman for a moment, because as much as I love Olivia Colman, something that drove me up the wall was like, Sam Jackson did not, Nick Fury did not subtly hide that stupid eyeball thing on the owl. Like, that, it just felt like not that subtle. I was like, surely they must sweep this room for these things. Like, and I will also acknowledge, like, it's quite possible that she's intentionally trying to, like, let him in on info in order to collaborate. Yeah, but I was just like, what is happening here?
It was more kind of silly that he thought that wouldn't get caught.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm hoping she's smart enough to be in on it. But, yeah, right when he did it. Obviously, they also did it in a weird way where they gave it, like, a sound effect and stuff to let us know that he put it there. It was very, yeah, very, very clear that I was like, oh, I feel like Nick Fury would find a much better place for that. You know, like,
and then she's standing, yeah, like, perfectly in the line of it. So yeah, again, I acknowledge that, but it just felt so ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I love Olivia Colman, but I just feel, I don't know how I feel about this character yet, because I'm just like, this is, you feel slightly underused. You are Olivia Colman. Like,
yeah, but it seems that she might end up being one of his bigger adversaries in it, and so maybe she'll be very used.
We'll quite see. Possibly, yes. But, you know, yeah. If you bring her into a show like this, I'm like,
yeah,
please have her.
It'd be cool if she was a Skrull, if we found out by end, you know, like, if after everything, because that's what's fascinating about it is, like, you have Skrulls, and then you have the Skrulls that are part of this new Skrullos, like this, like, area where they want this invasion and they want to do this, and so,
yeah,
but not all Skrulls are just like in that train of thought.
I do appreciate,
you could really
that
have some interesting
they
stuff.
Give that shades of gray to the Skrulls, like that.
Yeah,
like, not all of them are bad, and so even if they're impersonating someone you like or love or whatever, it doesn't mean that they did it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Well, and also the way that the new Skrullos are doing it in, like, that mind warp thing or whatever that we saw. We actually saw them use that on Carol and Captain Marvel. Right? And it's like, you don't have to do that to become somebody. So it's a thing where, like, there might be Skrulls out there impersonating others in a way that's not harming them either. You know, but
yeah,
to
like,
do
a low, I think it's if you're not trying to impersonate someone who is, you know, high visibility, high, you know, access, etc.
Yeah.
You don't need
you
every single detail of whatever, because if you forget a birthday or if you forget, you know, an anniversary or a name, the a world order isn't going to collapse. But
you have to perform as them. You need,
sure, yes,
you need their
yes,
information.
Yeah. But you don't need every single bit, right?
Versus, sure.
Like,
yeah,
if you slip up and the stakes are much higher, if you are trying to infiltrate, like, layers of the government, you know,
right,
yeah, you need every single bit versus, like,
right,
oh, yeah, I just want to quietly live, like, outside the secret invasion. Leave me alone. I've, like, set up a nice little gig over here.
Right. So, yeah.
Does this also mean that none of them have eaten in the last however many years? Or there's just, like, earth food does not taste good to them?
I think it's more having to do with, like, the homesickness of never being able to get that type of fruit again.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was
like
just
the
like
whole,
how,
like,
yeah, thought it was gone like, forever.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, yeah, that's true.
The planet is gone forever, and you will never be able to have, you know, I don't know.
Whatever.
Apples again.
Space for...
Then, like, again, maybe you might, like, crave it.
Yeah, no, that's valid. I just was like, what's happening? It was just, you know, they were very excited about it. I was very happy for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's sad to lose your homeworld, you know.
It's, yes, yeah, it happens. Quite it often, happens. Ironically.
Yeah, I said that lightly, but it happens way more than we would like it to.
Quite often in the Marvel Universe.
And in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pretty obviously, we're all going to keep watching.
Yeah, sure.
It definitely came on strong, so I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't know if I love the, like, unravel-y Nick Fury version, but I'll also watch Samuel L. Jackson in almost anything, so...
Yeah. I'm here for this, like, I want to see what they do with it. If it goes too far to a point of, like, irritation, then one thing, but he's always so buttoned up, and one of my favorite movie with him in it is actually Winter Soldier, which this also kind of reminds me of in some ways. But
I thought you were your like favorite Sam Jackson movie in general. I was like, that's not the right answer.
No.
Of Nick Fury's performances.
I think about it. I don't know. I love the movie, but I don't know. But yeah, no. No, but I is Nick Fury in it. And I think it's because you start to see the cracks a little bit in him in that. And I also love seeing like Natasha's reaction to thinking he was dead and all that. Like I just, and so he's so crack proof so often. And then I love Captain Marvel because you see his humor a lot more. And it's like, you know, I like that too. It's lighter.
Creepy de-aged Sam Jackson in it.
Right. Not that they had to do too much to him, but yeah.
No, they did not actually.
Still looks younger than me. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with his characterization. I hope it doesn't go too far.
Yeah. All right. Well, we also watched, what's it called? No Hard Feelings. I keep forgetting the name of it. I'm like, this is a thing. The J-Lo movie. I will start with you this time, Matt. What did you think? Because you were actually looking forward to this.
Yeah, and I loved it.
God damn it.
You're like, oh, great.
Oh, God. Okay, go on. Don't think this is the one that you two are going to convince me on that it was a great movie, but please go on.
No. Well, to be fair, I don't make any claims of that sort. And I've never, even going into it, I did not think it was going to be some like fantastic, amazing film. It's just like the type of mindless like comedy that I enjoy.
Okay.
Right. So like it's Gene Stupnitsky who he wrote and like produced Bad Teacher, which I love. Oh, he also did the show. He did like crap. And again, it's not like some amazing film. I just love it. Like I watch the movie all the time. I can quote
He did Year One. Okay.
He did do that and I didn't love that. But but it's just his style of humor that I.
Oh my God! Wait, he created. He's the creator of Jury Duty. Oh my goodness! All right. Well, now I feel torn. But
yeah, no, I like his humor, and so I was. That's another reason why I was looking
forward to it. The show I keep forgetting to watch.
Oh yeah,
it's very good, but it will definitely test the limit of your sort of empathetic crawling out of skin, which makes me ask, how did you feel about this movie, Jackie?
I really liked it. I laughed pretty hard. To be fair, we did go to Margaritaville before we went to this movie.
Okay.
So, that was part of the plan, for sure.
Yeah, that was always part of our plan. But you know, just to let you know, the level of inebriation was higher than, you know, some of the time we watch movies. So most of the time we watch movies, I guess. So yeah, I was having a good time, but I'd also, you know, been having a good time before it. So.
Okay. I did not like this movie. I really didn't like this movie. It made me deeply uncomfortable for a variety of reasons, some of which, you know, checking of the internalized misogyny and some of which just, I could not. I think Jennifer Lawrence is a great actress, but there are some roles that she has taken lately where it just relies on her Jennifer Lawrence-ness, and like I find a monotony to it, and I kind of wish she'd stop taking this. I also don't feel like this was written for a Jennifer Lawrence, even though it, you know, she's an exec. I feel like it was written for like an Amy Schumer, but it requires a hot girl. I'm putting that in air quotes, and it did not work for me.
I like J-Lo comedy better than dramatic all the time. I mean, I think she does both well, but I actually misturn comedy. So I was like excited to see, because I think she's hilarious. Like I thought that.
See,
I can understand the ick factor and like the premise, I guess.
Yeah.
But kind of know that going in. So it was, you know, but it is hard to watch in some ways. Yeah.
I couldn't think of like an outright comedy that she starred in. And I still can't. I'm looking at her filmography. And
it's just
can't.
That she's,
I guess, comedic more.
Yeah.
Like even like, even though I shudder to bring up the film, but even something like her role in, say, American Hustle, like she was, there were funny things.
Yes, about her.
You know, like, so she can be funny easily, you know, but I think she as a person is funny. So like you're saying, she's relying on.
Yeah, and for me, maybe I personally would have enjoyed this more.
Because when you see the interviews and stuff, it's a similar humor, so.
Absolutely. I think I just would have enjoyed this more if there was more, like, you know, just to talk about the spoilers, the slapstickiness of running out of the ocean naked and then, like, getting into a physical fight, you know, and us seeing, not way too much because I don't want to shame or whatever, but it was just like, I don't know, it made me uncomfortable just because I was like, this just seems, you know, knowing how vulnerable she would be in that fight. It's just like, what is happening here? Because anybody fighting that naked, you know, would be, it didn't, and but if it was like more slapsticky, more ridiculous, she like, she carries herself in a kind of refined way that I think doesn't lend itself to this type of humor. You know, when she's trying to be like sexy or whatever, when she's doing the lap dance, I was like, this is meant for someone who is like looser in their body and like has more, there's, or it needs to be like even more, it needs to be super awkward, but nowhere, she's like somewhere in between. Like I want her to be like so bad at doing the lap dance or like great at it, you know, ridiculous at it, like over the top.
Yeah, I could see that. I would say then it needs to be more bad than doing it really well, because she, like, as a character, this is not something she ever imagined she'd be doing.
Right. Yes. But the, you know, the way it's like the way it landed.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, then, yeah, it would need to go into the embarrassing bad zone, just because her character, I felt like it was the point of it was to be like, this is not normal for her either.
Yeah.
And she thought that she could just seduce the kid and it'd be over, and it was like, what the hell? Well, like that, you know,
I think that's,
she thought that it would just be easy, you know.
Yes. Yeah, but like tonally it frustrated me because it's like, it's kind of trying to be earnest, but it's also got this like absolutely absurd premise, and she doesn't seem like a dumb character. So the fact that, you know, when her approach of trying to be very like seductressy isn't working, she doesn't think to pivot. Like she's just like, what's wrong with you, what's whatever. You know, I just was like, then how dumb do you think she is? You know?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I could see that. But at the same time, he's like so young, and that's, I get, disturbing. But it's this thing where she's just doing the stuff that like would work on any other dumb 31-year-old that she's around. But then she's like around this 19-year-old who's like clearly like having a crisis himself that she didn't take the time to get to know what it was, that she's just like, what is wrong with this kid? Like, who, teenagers are supposed to be horny? Like, I don't understand this. So yeah, like, I could see that approach. Like, I didn't think it made her dumb. I think she just was more like obviously out of touch.
Yeah. You know, it was like a little too far from me. Like the beginning, you know, that'd be fine. But by the time she gets to like the date at the bar or the whatever it is, I'm just like, this is, like, she, come on, it's clearly not working. Like, you know, stop shooting the shot this way. Like, go a different way. You're smarter than that, it seems.
Yeah. I will say the nude beach scene, I, at the start of it, laughed really hard when she was marching up to them to fight them. And then I was laughing at a couple of shots when she's, like, throwing them around.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was, like, okay, this is going into like a very gratuitous, like, again, you know, no shaming, like, show yourself, do whatever you want. But it was a thing where it felt kind of like, oh God, this, like if it had been anyone of, I don't know how to say it, but anyone not at the level that Jennifer Lawrence is at,
yeah,
I guess, with her A-list status,
yeah,
I would wonder if they got pressured into doing it. You know, but then
sure,
it made me
think.
Made me feel like, okay, she must have like been totally down doing this. Cause like, you know what I mean? Cause it was like, to have it last that long and be that way, I felt like, okay, at least I don't think she got super pressured. I hope not. But it went a little long where it was like a little, But then when she gets back to the ocean.
But I did think it was really funny at first. And I did think it was
funny
when she went back there and commented about it.
Well, when she's like, okay, like, where were we or whatever? And he's like, what the hell? Like,
Yeah,
it got me. It shamelessly got me. It'll be one of those ones that I will watch frequently once it comes out.
Oh my God. All right. This is it. No, and I don't think she got pressured because like she's a producer on this. So I don't imagine. But for me, like just like the comedy of it, I think I agree. Like the flip was funny. You know, some of it was funny. I don't know if getting like I was about to say something I probably should not say, you know, punch to the lady genitals.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot. Yeah,
now, it was a lot, yeah, you know, and I was just like, you know, and the reaction to it wasn't as exaggerated as I thought it would be. I just felt like this film was constantly like struggling to find a balance for me. Like I just, it wasn't funny enough and it wasn't earnest enough to break through.
Yeah,
I'm glad you two liked it though, because like maybe you know what, maybe if I had been drunk I would have like laughed more, or you know, or if maybe if I'd been like with people who were laughing it would have changed the
that shouldn't be have to be a prerequisite for it. Like I would have, I feel strongly that I would have enjoyed it either way, but of course it gets enhanced when you're partaking. But I can just like, because you know the kind of comedy that I like, I was listening like Bad Teacher Things, and like I think it's considerably better than movies like this. But Trainwreck is one of my favorites, like that kind of thing where I watch them sober frequently and like cry of laughter a lot.
So I was watching,
so again, I know that this will get
like me. I said, I feel like this was written for Amy Schumer, but it needs to be like Jennifer Lawrence physique. And I don't, you know, she does not have the like traditionally comedic chops for me, for the way I envisioned the only way to make this like awkward premise work, you know, is to go so absurd in a direction that you aren't as creeped out by the fact that, you know, she's, you know, and sex work is work, but she's basically like been hired as a sex worker for someone who is barely out of minorhood.
Right. Yeah, no, I could see that because she doesn't have, it feels like this is how she is comedically as a person, but
yeah,
like Amy has, obviously Amy is a comedian, but Amy has such a clear brand of comedy.
Yeah.
That when you watch an Amy role in a film, you kind of are like, okay, I know what I'm going to get. And she's going to do things that are going to really embarrass you. And she's going to like that kind of thing. But with, so it's like this kind of thing would work really well with someone like her. Like, I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still find Jennifer Lawrence likable and funny enough to where I was like, this, it totally works. It's kind of the same way I found similar Cameron in Bad Teacher. That could have been someone who can play that like really just diabolical human better than maybe Cameron even does. But it works enough, you know.
We will have to agree to disagree on that one.
I can't help it.
No, it's fine. It's fine, you know. I'm glad the two of you enjoyed it. It's a no from me, but.
Well, listen, I'm glad you saw it. you were a maybe.
I'm not, but. At least I can say I did.
Making me watch Transformers.
This is fair. You know what? That's fair. I'm glad in that I could even the score a little bit.
so you have like, okay, it's like. You have to watch one of them again in the theater. Which one are you doing?
Which one?
Transformers and this?
And no hard feelings, yeah.
Oh my God, Transformers 100%.
Well, yeah, you didn't see it all, so you have to see the beginning.
That's true. She did miss the beginning.
There might be new parts in it. I cannot watch that naked scene and that punch and that, like, there are multiple naked scenes, actually. Like, nope, I would pick Transformers any day. Because at least I can just, like, turn my brain off for that. Versus this where I'm just like, I know this could be better.
That one was hopeless. There's nothing you can do. I did think, though, that I thought the guy, the kid was, I don't want to call him kid because he's an adult, but the guy.
Well, is he? He's barely. When he filmed this, I don't know if he. Yeah,
that's true. I thought he did pretty well, though. I will say, as an actor, I've never really seen him before, and I was like, okay, he had some good comedic, and even though it was a weird moment in the film, and I will say it felt a little out of place, I really liked his singing. I was very surprised.
So apparently, he is a Broadway person.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I really liked his cover of the song, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, I thought he was fine. Yeah. I admittedly, because of the way I was able to looked him up in the middle, so I was just like, oh, that explains why we've incorporated this.
They're like, oh, we got to showcase his singing jobs.
Yeah, we'll give him an emotional moment, but I actually thought he was good in this. Like, he
me too
brought a grounding to it that I was just like this, but it just sort of further the dichotomy between the two characters. Yeah. I was like, you're in different movies.
Yeah, yeah. But he surprised me in that, you know, you have this, like, he's not even, like, credited on the poster or in the trailer. And it's like, Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Lawrence. And then, Matthew Broderick's also in it. And it's this thing where, like, for being something that's so heavily led by A-lister to kind of stand right next to it and actually outperform at many times was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
So kudos to him.
Kudos to him indeed. All right. Well, we're watching what? What else have we been watching this week?
Watched Showing Up, finally. I've been wanting to watch that. Lily Reinhart with Hong Chau and Michelle Williams.
Oh, wait. Is that out?
Well, on like digital.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I blinked and missed it in the theater. It was just so upsetting. And then I will say it's super like slow and dry, but it's much less of a comedy than I thought it was. But
no hard feelings.
Slow, dry, no comedy. Yeah, no, this was like really super like indie drama type of thing, whatever. And that's not to dissuade from it. It's a warning because it was a little dry, but it was, I liked it. As someone who currently spends my days working with artists.
Because
it's all about artists and the process and all that. So
it's a little traumatizing.
So I was laughing at some things, you know, I was like, oh, okay. you know, these people, you know, amazing. But yeah, so that was fun. I watched, and just like that, season 2 started.
Oh God. Yes, I saw that.
It's happening. So I watched that. They dropped 2 episodes. And yeah, I think that's it.
I watched the Barbie and Ken murders on.
Oh, that took me a minute. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think it's on Max. It's a documentary about some Canadians, you know. People act like Canadians aren't murderers, but some of them are.
No, those are some jacked up murderers. I didn't see that one, but my sister is a true crime aficionado and made me watch like a different one when we were on vacation. I was like, well, this is horrifying.
Well, and isn't it Real Housewives? Isn't that the one with the murder mystery?
What?
What?
Wasn't it Canada? It was a Toronto. One of the Real Housewives has like a murder. It's like a murder that had happened in it or something. I forget which one of it was.
Oh.
Overseas or if it was in Canada. But it was.
Somebody was actually involved in a murder on a Real Housewives.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. Because you said murder mystery, and I was like, they all throw stupid murder mystery parties.
Yeah, was it really? No, I meant an actual.
Yeah, there's an actual murder. I don't know.
It was one of the Canada ones. It was overseas, I don't remember.
I did like the Barbie and Ken one. It has some like kind of interesting twists to it.
It's a real messed up one.
What?
Their story is just so messed up. I found it traumatizing.
Just absolutely horrifying. And then I watched a lot of really horrifying things this weekend. Blame Katie Mox. She was on my couch yesterday and we only watched true crime. So we also watched I cannot believe I'm blanking on this. The subway guy's name, Jared.
Jared. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jared, the subway guy, that story. Watch that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a documentary. Have you not watched that yet?
No, I hadn't.
I thought we talked about that on here. Was that just, okay, how funny?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was the thing I watched at one point, but yeah.
Yeah. And then I started this new show called Death in the Dorm, which is about college students who have died. So far, they've all been murdered, which I think is more interesting than accidental deaths, really. So that one's good. I mean, the director's making some interesting decisions, like split screen and some like very weird slow-mo, like you know what, a video game when you select a character and they like go around the person.
Yeah, like the pan around.
They do that to people of interest in the story. So it's like the detective or like the, you know, it gets a little weird.
Have them stand on something and like filmed them?
They're in front of the police station or something, but the camera's like panning around them slowly. And like, it's just fucking, it's weird.
That is very weird.
But I like a true crime story. So enjoying the episode so far.
Well, on that tonal note, I started watching the the TLC one or whatever it was. It's not a TLC one, I think, but it's about the like 19 kids and counting guy who bad, apparently. Actually, that whole family is not that whole family because it's a very large family, and that would be unfair to lump all of them in. I didn't realize how dark some of the things that were involved. I fell asleep watching it, but it was because I was sick. Yeah, but I picked it back up, and it is deeply upsetting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't seen that one, I don't think.
Yes. Maybe it's on, I think it's on Amazon.
Mm. Oh, I tried to watch Kim Cattrall's show.
Oh, my God. I was so annoying.
Oh, man. The dialogue was just traumatically bad. Like, I didn't even make it through the whole first episode, I don't think.
I feel bad because they've written this very flamboyant, like, you know, out character, which I think is great, but the actor is not a good. And the writing is terrible. It feels like a, you know, part of me feels like an AI wrote, like, what they think, you know, sassy. I think he even calls himself a twink at some point, so I will use this phrase, you know, sassy, like, twinks who make makeup videos. Like, that, I feel like somebody was like, ChatGPT this. I'm like, this is bad. This is bad.
Like, yeah, I barely even made it through that trailer. I was like, there's no way.
Oh, it was just deeply disappointing.
Out of morbid curiosity. Like, oh. Yeah. Shiny Happy People is the name of the Duggar family doc, mm-hmm. and it is on Amazon. Mm. Because the other thing I watched on Amazon is called I'm a Virgo, which is a very surreal and odd show, but I really liked it. Did either of you see Sorry to Bother You?
Mm-hmm. It sounds familiar, but nothing is coming up in my head.
It takes place in Oakland. It has like Steven Yeun. He's not the main person in it, but I was just like, oh, Steven Yeun's in this. It's from Boots Riley. Lakeith Army Hammer's in it. Yeah. Lakeith Stanfield and Tessa Thompson are in it. Those are the big. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he has a very distinct style and is like very kind of semi-surreal. It's about a 13-foot man who lives in Oakland. Just like he was hidden away, and then what happens when he sort of comes out into the world, and then there's a billionaire who was a comic artist who then like turned himself into a superhero effectively. Yeah, it's a very strange but fascinating look, and it's all taking on, you know, socioeconomic politics and race and a bunch of things, and he does a very distinct storytelling style. But yeah, I recommend
check that one out.
Yeah. And then both Matt and I saw Past Lives, which highly recommend. It was beautiful, and I loved it.
Yeah, you know, I was supposed to watch it in time for this. I didn't.
We'll discuss it when you watch it.
You know, I still have not seen Spider-Verse.
That is slightly more upsetting to me. I mean, I love Past Lives, but like Spider-Verse.
I know. I want to see it. I don't.
You'll find it.
Badly.
Yeah. Well. I'm going to have to, like, my friend Kafia wants to watch it, but she keeps ditching me on the nights that it's happening. She's like, oh, sorry, I can't, blah, blah. I'm like, so now I'm just going to go without her, I think.
Oh, I was like, you are a way better friend than I am. I would never.
Yeah. I think it's worth seeing. Also, I find it so upsetting that you said no hard feelings before you saw Spider-Verse. I would have been much happier if you were just like, nope, just kidding. We'll see that.
Well, and Transformers, Rise of the Beast.
And Transformer. Oh, my God. I am sorry. We have gone off the rails here.
Well, you're the one who made me watch Transformers, and it had to be prioritized because we had to get it done in time for recording.
I know. I'm sorry. In fairness, though, I did not say prioritize, no hard feelings. But I'm happy that you enjoyed it because now we're slightly more even, so... And on that note, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And now a couple of quick follow-up points. So who is Veronke? She is, well, she's actually known as Queen Veronke or Empress Veronke at one point. She's a Skrull, and she's a member of a super religious sect of them. And in the comics, she is the main sort of orchestrator of Secret Invasion. It's part of a religious crusade. She does take part in a ritual that is apparently a mix of science and magic that gives her Jessica Drew's powers and memories. Jessica Drew is Spider-Woman. That allows her to sort of infiltrate the Avengers in a way that they aren't aren't able to detect her. We don't know if this is actually where the show is going to be going, but it would be kind of cool. And then as for Real Housewives involved in murder, so Real Housewives of Atlanta currently has a plot line involving somebody's nephew unfortunately being murdered. And then in 2020, Joshua Waring, son of Lori Peterson of the Real Housewives of the OC, was charged with 3 counts of attempted murder before striking a plea deal. And then this one is really dark. But the brother of one of the Real Housewives of Cheshire, which is one of the UK spinoffs, was shot dead in front of his wife and 2-year-old son by a hitman. It sounds like he was the kingpin of like an international drug gang, and it was 2 feuding organizations, so it was a literal mob hit, which is really rather dark. So unfortunately, there is a history of Real Housewives shows and murder, effectively. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a review or even consider subscribing.